Tom, big game tonight. I mean, it's hard to say that, you know, game 43, big, 44, right? Yeah, they're all big, none bigger than the others, but the fact that we're talking a division lead, tiebreakers, all of that, and the Nets are playing so well. How big of a test is this for you guys?
Well, it's a good test for us. It certainly is, because we get to play a team that has a lot of talent. Six former All-Stars or current All-Stars. They got six All-Stars, however you want to say it. So it's obviously a test for us coming into the game and playing on their home court with their fans and everything. It's a challenge for us, no question about it.
When you look at the way they've been playing, you guys have handed them their only loss so far this month. Garnett wasn't there, the back-to-back. You got him tonight again on the back-to-back. What are they doing differently? I've watched them a couple times, and it looks like their lineup looks eerily familiar to what Doc Rivers did in Boston with Kevin Garnett playing the five, and their pace of play seems to have had a huge impact on their success.
Well, what they've done is since the December game or the last game, the December 31st game, kids come out and challenge them defensively. They are so much better defensively. Mm-hmm. After that time frame than what they were prior to it, and that's where they're making a difference. They shot 36% from threes prior to that stretch. They shoot 36% from threes now. That hasn't changed. What has changed is their ability to defend and put that part of the game into their game plan, where prior to that they had not.
Tom, what do you do on your end? DeMar DeRozan didn't make the trip, not with the team. Coach Casey just said he spoke to him. What does that do to your starting lineup right now? Who are you guys going to insert in there?
Well, I don't think we've made a final decision yet on that, and I think what that comes down to is we'll see a little bit as we get closer to that time, but what it does is it means there's about 38, DeMar, I think, is third or fourth in the NBA in minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means 38 minutes have got to get divvied up between other guys on the floor, and not only that, his point production has to get divvied up as well.
Right.
So we've got to find a way to manage the minutes, and we're down a little bit at that 1, 2, and 3 spot, so we've got to figure that part out and then be able to have guys come in and boost their games. When a man goes down, next man up, and everybody's got to step up and play.
Tom, there's two schools of thought. I mean, we both sat in the coaching ranks in different spots, and we're both parents, too. There's get it done, and then there's least disruption. I mean, people look at, like, do you throw Gravis in there? Do you throw Patrick Patterson in? Look at their lineup. Again, it's like four perimeter guys with Garnett. Or do you try to keep, like, the second unit together and not disrupt that too much and go down your bench to a guy like a Julian Stone or a Steve Novak or somebody else who can come in and be a placeholder,
sure. But
it doesn't disrupt the second unit? Because when you take a guy off your second unit, now you've got two units that have been changed.
Well, I think that's something that we're going to make a decision. And I said we'll try to get to that decision a little closer to game time, just how we're going to play this thing out. But however you do it, there are two good schools of thought in what you talk about. And so obviously that's the discussion. And as a staff, and Case makes the final decision on everything, we got to decide what's best. You know, we can throw out ideas, but at the end of the day, Coach makes the final decisions, and we'll decide, I guess, when we get closer to game time.
What are the challenges defensively? Like you talked about the way they're playing, the way Jason Kidd has challenged them, and they've got a guy like Garnett and, you know, Sean Livingston, his length is also an issue. But the other guy's coming off the bench, too. I mean, you've got Deron Williams coming off the bench now, and that makes their second unit pretty productive.
That's the biggest challenge that's different from the previous two games, is the fact that D. Will's in the lineup. So he presents a different defensive strategy than we've had in the past, because we've game-planned a little bit for Livingston, and we've game-planned for Pierce and Garnett and Anderson Teletovich, and we've done that. But we haven't had the opportunity to test out a game plan against Williams. So that we're going to get a first-time look at. Right. And obviously, we got these guys another time down the road, so we'll get a chance to see how that all plays out.
Has Jonas improved significantly to the point, Tom, where, and I know it's a matchup game, and coaches always play matchups, and you're always more worried about the defensive matchup than the offensive matchup. People say, well, you know, why don't you go back inside at the other end? I said, well, hold on, this isn't Iowa 3-on-3 girls basketball. You got to play both ends.
Right.
And do you see Jonas having any kind of advantage down there as the only, quote, true big man, unquote, on the floor?
I think JV's continued to improve. He's gotten better. So giving him the opportunity to go at their front line is something that we will look at, and I think that's something that he's demonstrated. He's continuing, as Case says all the time, he's continuing to get better, to get better. Every time we get him an opportunity to come out on the floor, you know, this young man has come a long, long way. You and Jonesy, you and I both know a long, long way from where he started.
Oh, yeah.
Just in terms of knowing who's on the floor for the other team. So he's got a familiarity now. That helps tremendously. You know, that's the hardest part, I think, for young guys in the league is just figuring out who everybody is.
Right.
You play them a couple times. You get a feel. Maybe not necessarily what works for somebody else on another team, but what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what experience and the fact of him being on the floor, he has to figure out, as well as what we try to do to help him.
Terrence Ross, a 50-point game. And somebody asked me this. I mean, it's great for the kid to have a game like that, but it can't be a regular expectation for him to be even going 20-plus, because he's not the kind of kid right now that you can throw the ball to and say, hey, you know, go get me something. He's not at that stage in his development, Tom.
Think about DeMar and where DeMar has grown. And so, in reality, Terrence is on that path to grow like DeMar. But maturation is something that happens over time.
Yeah.
I don't care. We all want him to be whatever today. The reality of the NBA is players need time to develop.
Absolutely.
And so expectations can't be exceeded from the fans' perspective, from our management's perspective, from everybody's perspective. They have got to grow at their pace. And Terrence has obviously got the ability. He just showed you, put up 51.
Yeah.
So we just got to let him grow.
How do you talk to him to help him keep that in perspective, let alone the rest of the people off the court, the fans? How do you guys talk to him about that?
Well, we keep it the same. I mean, the consistency is probably the best teacher, I think, in this league. We talk about consistent things, about doing the little things on the floor, coming off screens tight on, you know, coming off screens tight so you can get your catch and shoot off, you know, running the floor, getting back, getting to your spot ups, knowing the plays, know where your shots are coming from. Those kinds of things are things that we talk about every day. And then we work hard at his ability to keep on getting reps on shots. You know, young guys need reps. They don't get it in college. They get it in the NBA.
Right.
The other guy, Patrick Patterson, injured on Saturday night, Tom, with assistant coach Tom Stirner. How does he make the adjustment? You know, he's got to play with a mask on. And that people might say, well, it's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal, not when you're not used to playing with it. And one practice is not going to do it. Again, a young player in the league, there's bound to be some kind of frustration and adjustment there. How do you guys walk him through that and kind of keep his, no pun intended, nose to the grindstone?
I think the same thing. I think you encourage him. I think the biggest thing we try to do is be positive with all of our players. And when you have a situation like that, you just have to keep encouraging. If he misses a shot or two, you understand that there's some adjustment here. As you mentioned,
right,
the fact that he's got a device on his face. And so anytime that a player has that, you can sit out here and we get some stuff in practice right now where he gets a couple minutes to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
But before the game, he's just going to have to figure out what the basket looks like, what the court looks like, how does it affect his vision, you know, where can he, again, cut a corner here or there to be able to have the same type of performance that he did prior to the nose.
Last thing before we go, Tom, this team seems to have developed a belief. It's going to be tested tonight, going out west, playing with DeMar. How strong do you think it is?
I think our guys believe. Our guys are locked in. We had a great shoot around this morning in terms of focus. Guys are engaged. They're given suggestions. I mean, you don't get that if you don't have a team that's engaged and a team that believes in themselves.
Tom, thanks for your time. As always, great talking to you. Great moving the chess pieces around and talking philosophy. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jonesy.